Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Craft of the Draft podcast. And as of this week, we're looking forward to a Vic v Vic grand final. And that was the product of what we saw in the weekend, recording here on a Wednesday morning. So the night you're listening to this is we've recorded this morning and ready to go through what was quite a big weekend, some really big results, and country set that all up. But before we get into that, you've got a question you want to start off with?
I do. Like you said, we've got the Vic Country versus Vic Metro, effectively grand final this week to decide who wins the national championships, Nathan. Grand finals are often not decided, but certainly players who rise to the occasion and players who are willing to give repeat efforts regardless of circumstance really stand out in finals. So I want to ask you, out of everyone in the talent league, who would you most want to line up alongside based on their effort and intensity game after game?
Yeah, well, it's a tough one to think about. The easy one would be a forward, but I'd go with someone who's been there every game as a solid contributor in Harvey Laneford.
Yeah.
One that just constantly brings effort. It's that work rate up and back. I feel like you'd have a real tough day and you'd always have to be switched on against someone like that.
And I'd go for Cooper Hines, his teammate. Yeah, so Dandenong have got a couple of really good co-captains there. Just with his size and strength, and we've seen him put the Dandenong Stingrays team on his back a couple of times throughout this season. He's a bona fide player at talent league level, and he's shown he can do it in the championships as well. I expect a big finish from him, but we'll talk about that game a little bit more later. We'll preview it in some depth. We'll start with the Vic Country v Allies game, and that was a cracker of a game. Probably the highest standard of footy we've seen throughout the championship so far. Vic Country getting the chocolates by 2 points, and an outstanding spectacle. We saw the return of a couple of players on the Vic Country side of things, Finn O'Sullivan and Reece Unwin, and the Allies finished their championships with plenty of players having boosted their stocks and some bottom majors to keep an eye on as well.
Yeah, 100%. It was a terrific watch, wasn't it? And quietly, we were both hoping Country would get over the line, because who doesn't want to see a grand final at the end of it? But that was a terrific show of footy. It was probably expected to happen at some point, that type of game. But it was terrific effort by Country and got the job done. Lombard kicked that goal on the siren, which 2 points is probably how it felt in the end. But without further ado, let's get right into it. Let's start with Finn O'Sullivan.
Yep.
His return for Vic Country. It was a quieter return, in all honesty, but it was those late efforts where you just showed that extra bit of class of what he's capable of. He was unselfish. He was, he set up Jack Whitlock late. That cleanness out of traffic at times in that forward half set him apart when it really mattered at the end, even though he was quieter in that first period of the game.
Yeah, a couple of really nice kicks inside 50. You touched on that one to Whitlock there. But, I guess a couple of things on his last quarter. You talk about good players, and we said before with Harvey Laneford and Cooper Hines wanting to line up alongside them, good players stand up in the big moments, and he certainly did that and helped Country win after what had been a quieter game from him. So he really built into the game nicely, and I guess the other part of that is he was playing on managed minutes, so it was no surprise that when fatigue did start standing in for some of his teammates, he was able to really help his team get over the line, and he finished with 16 touches. At least 8 of them, I reckon, would have been in that last quarter, because he was very quiet. So he went into the midfield after starting on the wing and, showed his overhead ability as well. So looking forward to seeing what he produces in the last third of the season. We'll go to another player who was returning from injury as well, in Reece Unwin, who I think had a real impact up forward. He's so zippy and has those real small forward traits. He's got that ability to be real antagonistic to opponents, I think, and I say that in an endearing way. I really liked what he produced. He's got quick hands and he's really elusive as well. He's hard to tackle and he's got that sort of deft touch at ground level.
Yeah, well, I thought he was consistently lively, especially in that forward half, but maybe lacked that little bit of touch with his finish. But it did evolve really well as the game went on, had that really nice goal where he was able to run inside 50, assess his options, whilst he was running and make that decision, I can finish this myself.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. Had some crafty tap work around 50 to get around opponents. So I thought it was a good build into his first game at Country level, and I think he'll be able to expand that even more in the granny.
Yeah, certainly. We'll go line by line now, and we'll start with the midfield for Vic Country. And we better talk about Harvey Langford, because he was probably the best player on the ground. He's having an absolutely terrific championships. His burst out of stoppage and just those clean hands, it really stands out at this level. The players that are able to be clean just have a little bit more time and a little bit more class, and it allows them to be a lot more sure with their disposal as well. He showed his overhead ability, and his tackling pressure as well is sensational. If he doesn't have the ball, he's certainly doing something defensively.
Yeah, well, that's a pretty good wrap there, because I would have said the exact same things. It's those defensive efforts that I love about his game, where when other midfielders will look to go forward and get running, he's always waiting. It feels like there's a waiting presence about him around stoppages, knowing when to impact defensively and then when to go forward and be an offensive impact. So, yeah, he was certainly terrific.
Definitely. Riley Onley, I thought, was one of the better players on the ground as well, and really grabbed the opportunity of being given midfield minutes. He won some really big clearances, particularly centre clearances, and he's just got that acceleration, and he's so poised in traffic, and I thought that showed on the day. He works really hard to get to lots of contests, and he's got that power, so he's one to watch in the next 12 to 15 months, obviously still a bottom major.
Yeah, similar to Langford, I thought he brought his defensive efforts with that tackle pressure as well, and he was super set with his burst out of stoppages, knowing where to get the footing moving. I'll move to Xavier Ivicic now, who has been super productive across all three champs games, and his hunt for the footy is probably up there with the best, you know, in the whole championships, really. I just love the way he attacks it. He knows his role, where he's one of the smaller mids and he's going to have to get in and under most times, and he does it really well. He generates quick, you know, exit handballs, and thought he just produced really solid efforts all day, and couldn't really fault him most of the time.
Yeah, he doesn't shirk a contest, does he? Most of what I noticed about him on the day was his stuff in the contest, which is really good, because we know he does have that dash about him as well. We'll move to the back line now, and Toby Trevallia is where we'll start. I thought he had a bit of a quieter start to the game and worked his way into it. It wasn't Toby Trevallia that we have seen throughout the season, but he still had some really important moments and provided that dash through the second half in particular.
Yeah, he just has that pounce. I keep noticing those first few steps with his acceleration that are probably the difference between him and those other halfbacks, is that ability to get it moving and the meters gained he's able to get with the ball in hand. He was quite agile at times as well. His ability to dance around a few opponents. He was composed in D50. I thought he provided intercept presence at time as well, and even, you know, produced those aggressive tackle moments at times, especially in the middle of that third quarter as well. So yeah, really, really strong game from Toby. I'd expect him to, you know, absolutely set the world alight in this final game as well, and top off what's been a really good champs.
Yeah, certainly. Lockie Jakes as well, another one who has been really consistent across the carnival. You talked about it with Xavier Ivicic. It's been a good carnival for those Falcons boys. Yeah, laid some really big tackles, and he's got that athleticism. You put it on the radar 6 to 8 weeks ago, I think, Nathan, with that athleticism that he's got. And I think that's really shown throughout the championships with his ability to get up and rise for some big marks. But he's so poised at ground level as well.
Yeah, well, that athleticism was something I was almost disappointed he wasn't able to show in the first couple months of Talent League. I mean, he had the duty of the kickouts most time and that rebounding role, but it wasn't really allowing him to show that intercepting presence. But I thought he's been able to do that really well. He was clean under pressure. He took a few good intercept marks and had a really good defensive rundown tackle at one point as well. So I thought it was probably his best game so far. I know you liked his game last week. The previous game as well, but yeah, he was really solid and was a great contributor. Probably, yeah, one of the best on ground, I reckon, in the end.
And then moving to the forward line, Sammy Lawler showed his strength. He did go through the midfield as well. But, yeah, that ability overhead and that real presence to not only take some marks but to bring it to ground level as well. We've seen it with Cooper Hines, but he's certainly been able to show it as well. Kick the 3 goals, and it's good to see him building into some form. And Jonty Fall as well, his teammate at the GWV Rebels, was absolutely sensational. It was a bit of a day for the key forwards, but yeah, he took some really big contested marks, got himself into good positions, and it's just his strength and his ability to outmaneuver opponents that really stood out, and he's willing to get involved at ground level as well.
Yeah, well, 3 goals was a pretty big, impactful performance. Sam Law is one I absolutely love watching. Would have been one of my top five at the start of the year to watch in terms of that real contested beast, and love what he does up forward in terms of its impact in a matter of minutes, which is just terrific from him. That he was probably quiet for more for a majority of the game. I don't know if you'd agree with that. I reckon if you, you know, in 100%, he was probably only active for about 30-40%. But
yeah,
three goals from in that time, he was super effective, just has that real hunt, and he was taking a good... His power in the marking contest was terrific as well.
And like, just quickly on Matt Whitlock, I know you liked his game.
Yeah, I did. He's one that I had mixed opinions of as it went on. I thought at times inside 50 he was too safe, which isn't a bad thing. Like, that's not really a dig in terms of fundamentals. I just thought at times he got into good space, did those things well. It was that next kick where he'd be quite short, and it would be the one-on-one contest, which... when you look at it, it's a 50-50. So is there a better option there for him? But I thought later on he took a really good offensive intercept mark, that being the ball coming out of the forward 50, intercepts it. Just had really strong hands up the ground as well and kicked a really vital goal late in that fourth quarter. So it was obviously more of a positive day. That was just my assessment as the game went on. How can he be more damaging in open play? Inside 50.
We'll move on to the Allies now, and we'll start down back with Joel Cochran. We had mixed opinions on his game. His intercepting was outstanding, and we know he's got that ability aerially and willingness to read the ball and then go and take a grab. But I was disappointed with his distribution throughout the day, and I think that's something he's going to have to work on, and hopefully we see it a bit more in the last part of the season. But you really liked his game and thought he was a key contributor for the Allies.
I'd pretty much agree with what you said. I liked his game in the sense that he was super switched on when it came to intercepting, and he was able to get himself in good spots. He was defensively applying himself with tackle pressure, and his offensive kicking had the right idea, I thought, but yeah, it's the execution that certainly let him down in the end, and that's kind of been the general theme with Joel Cochran all year. But, you know, generally his one-on-one work was really good and had a really good holding the ball tackle to stop a scoring shot in the fourth quarter as well. So, yeah, I don't know where you sit with that type of game, because it showed all the right defensive elements, but when it comes down to fundamentals like kicking, well, that's where you're like, it has to improve to really cement your name, I reckon, but still a good performance.
Ben Kennedy took the three intercept marks as well, and I thought he did some nice things, which was good to see him finish the championships well after some strong form at Xavier College. We'll move on to the midfield now, though. Leo Lombard won the Allies MVP, and it was another bona fide Leo Lombard performance with his power and his ability to keep his hands free in tackles and burst through in stoppage.
Yeah, well, it was very typical Lombard. He's an odd one. I've watched him at VFL level and obviously, you know, Allies level. He definitely does too much sometimes at 18s level, because he doesn't do it at VFL where he'll, you know, take on everything. He's very well matted in that sense. But it's just his power. He can afford to do that at this level, is his strength. And his delivery inside 50 was great as well. His offensive kicks were looking to open the ground up. So it was a good finish and, yeah, deserved the MVP medal for Allies.
Sam Marshall was his right-hand man, I suppose, in the midfield, and was absolutely outstanding through the championships. You could easily have given him the Allies MVP as well. He probably doesn't catch the eye the same way that Leo Lombard does, but his work rate and his ability to go in hard and willingness to win the footy was really good. He's really clean as well and showed his nimble footwork on the day. So it caps off a really strong championships for him.
Yeah, 100%. He's such a composed ball mover, and he's one that really does fly under the radar, and it's interesting with power rankings where he sits in a lot of those discussions because he's so valuable on the field. But he's obviously not your Lombard, who's your main, takes everything on. He's just so switched on and understands the game really well. So yeah, we're super impressed with him.
I'll let you lead the way with some of the forwards. We'll get to Job Shanahan in a second, who was the clear best on ground, but you really liked the games of Josh Murphy and Ollie DePoli Qbank, or Ty Gallup finished with three goals.
Yeah, I'll quickly just touch through. I mean, ODK was quite good. I thought that was a good summation of his championships in the end. I feel like there was always that extra little bit we'd hope he'd get to, which maybe that is expecting too much. I still think he reached the heights he needed to. He was super productive when he needed to be. He was good in space. I thought he just wasn't ultra damaging with his disposal. That was probably the dig I'd have on him in the end. But he was really poised with ball in hand. And Ty Gallup was really good early on. He kicked three goals. He was always proactive around the drop of the ball, especially for a big as well. He was composed, kicked a nice snap. And then just a few strong leads and contested one-on-one marks. And Josh Murphy, feel like we know what we're going to get from him every game. he needed to have that type of game, and we said it early with the first goal that he kicked.
That was amazing, stepping through traffic and kicking it from 50.
He needed that moment, and that's, I'm glad he got it. That's where we sit. But yeah, it's his power, his general power around the footy and in his leads as well. You feel like when he gets that first step off your opponent, he's going to take it 9 times out of 10.
And you talk about power. Zeke Ulund with some of his fend-offs was absolutely sensational throughout the day. I thought he came into it more the longer the game went on, but he's really hard to tackle and has that fend-off as well. I really liked what he produced throughout the championships, and he's one that Gold Coast supporters will want to keep a really close eye on next year when he is draft eligible, because it's amazing what he's already producing as a bottom major. But we'll move on to Jobe Shanahan, who was the best on ground. Some of that contested marking that he showed, and then his ability to kick 3 goals all at crucial times was absolutely excellent. I thought that's probably the best game that he's played since the under-17s game at Werribee last year, where he was taking contested marks for fun. So his ability to lead up, get separation, also stand under the high ball, take contested marks, and yeah, hit the scoreboard was excellent, and he hit targets inside 50 as well.
Yeah, 100%. It was a game he also needed, I feel like, because he's had pretty productive champs performances, but usually the criticism I've had is he probably just hasn't got himself involved as much as he needed to. But yeah, well summed, and just love the way he provided presence in transition as well, and that really topped off his game, I thought.
We'll go through all the players in a separate video next week and really analyse their championships in a bit more depth from Vic Country and Allies, and obviously Vic Metro as well when their carnival finishes. So keep an eye out for that video. But we will move on to the girls' side of things now. It was a double header up at Brighton Homes Arena in Queensland, with Vic Country taking on Queensland. Vic Country got off to a really fast start, but the quality of Queensland meant you always felt they were going to come to roost some missed opportunities in the first half, and that's exactly how the game played out, with their inability to score in the second half or score any goals in the second half, really allowing Queensland to run over the top of them.
Yeah, well, 100%, and I didn't watch this at the same time as you, but when I watched it, and I obviously knew the score in hindsight, but I couldn't believe the country weren't going to kick a goal for the last 57 minutes. Like, that was unbelievable to me, because they were so dominant, and it really did feel like they let it slip in all honesty. I do think they were the better team. It was just, Queensland just had that class, and eventually that when they got on a roll, it was hard to stop. So yeah, it was a good performance. I can put my hand up and say I severely underrated how good this Vic Country team was going to be.
Yeah, well, they've got so much talent in the midfield. We'll start there and we'll go through line by line. But Lou Painter, her strength, Ash Sentra's class, and then you've got other players that can go through there as well, like your Jazz Soudans, your Kayla Dalglishes, your Gemma Reynolds. It's up there with the best in the championships, you'd think, particularly with Painter and Sentra being the 1-2 punch. Painter, we both thought, was best on ground, and it was just her willingness to go in and basically replicate what she's done at Bendigo Pioneers level, step through traffic and just back her absolute strength and power when players were trying to bring her down, but they weren't able to, and she almost finished with a massive goal from outside 50 as well, which would have capped off her day. But ultimately, it was a very balanced midfield game.
Yeah, it was. I don't know if you noticed this about this game. How many players did those, like, got the ball above the head and did these turns? I feel like that happened multiple times in the game, and it was just the class of the midfield, I reckon, that their ability to understand what's around them. Her run and carry was terrific, her strength in the contest, her tackle pressure. This could go on and on, but I feel like it's something, you know, Painter, Howley, Sentra all kind of replicated in one way or another, and they really work so well with each other to get the ball moving forward. So yeah, Painter was definitely up the top. I think in terms of being really well-rounded offensively and defensively, that's probably why she got that top spot.
Sarah Howley, obviously another one in that Vic Country midfield I should have touched on before. Yeah, that starting three is absolutely sensational. We'll move to her now. I thought her first half was easily the best of anyone on the ground. Just her work rate, we know she's got it. She always produces it to get to so many contests and continue running. It's like she never runs out of puff, and she's got so many batteries. I'd love to see her run a 2K because I don't think she ever gets fatigued, and that really stood out. Yeah, she had a quieter second half of the game, but I'm not sure that had anything to do with her effort and intensity. But what was really pleasing to see was not just that she got to lots of contests and was able to feed out, but she got the ball on the outside. She took some bounces and she was able to hit up teammates really well as well. Maybe that's been a little bit of a question mark with her, but I think she's answered some critics by showing what she can do at the highest level on Sunday.
Yeah, it was outstanding, wasn't it? Just I mean, that the one moment, if you want to put Sarah Howell in a bottle, was that runic from about half back, even the back pocket, all the way to nearly forward 50, which she did get tackled in the end. And I mean, you can't really get too angry at that. It was just a matter of, don't think she assessed that far ahead. I don't think she expected to actually get that far ahead, but she danced around opponents. It was just such a really nicely balanced performance in the way she was able to get it and assess her options so quickly, moved it really well. I loved a few of her kicks that were switching the ball and opening up the ground. So she was really good.
And we'll have to touch on Ash Sentra as well. Her first quarter were threatened to tear the game apart. They were able to put some effort into her as the game went on, and it felt like her impact was limited after quarter time, but she certainly showed what she could do. Copped a big hit in the last quarter as well, but it was a very good game, but particularly first quarter from Ash Sentra.
Yeah, she really did just take the game on herself and wasn't waiting for opportunities. I thought she was able to just move it forward with poise and shrug off opponents at ease. It felt like her hands under pressure were great. She lowered her eyes at pretty every time she was about to kick it, and it was that extra bit of class. If she was if she had that a stronger, well, she went off with a bit of a collision in the fourth quarter, but the game was probably over by that point. But if she is on for the rest of the game, you always ask that question, could they have come back?
We'll move to the forward line now, and I'll start touch on one Stingray and you can touch on another. Kayla Dalgleish, I thought she was really clean. She set up the first goal in the first 30 seconds, which went to Zoe Basanko, her Stingray's teammate, and finished with 2-2 herself. She played a really good first half, and that was probably when she had more opportunity with more of the ball in Vic Country's forward line. But yeah, she kicked a goal via a 50-meter penalty, but she also generated 3 shots on her own with her speed on the lead, her ability to find space as well, and her read of the footy. And Gemma Reynolds, her teammate, played a really good game as well. She's so clean at ground level.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I would have started as well with Reynolds. It was her ability to be so clean at ground level. Her tackle pressure was there as well. Had speed through the corridor at times. I thought her kicking may have let her down a little bit, but her hunt on the footy was there. Had really good composure, set up a few kicks inside 50. And I thought really took that opportunity well at half forward in playing that role, when she's usually accustomed to having that midfield time at the Stingrays.
Yeah, certainly. And Stella Huxtable as well had a really promising performance. There aren't many bottom ages that have been given the opportunity for Vic Country, but she took it with both hands, with her marking just excellent. She was a real presence inside 50. Unfortunately, couldn't finish her work. But yeah, a really good first up game from her, where she showed some good signs. And Lexi Greger as well, another one who was a real presence and showed her good hands on the lead and her ability to take marks, but also burn her opponents as well, going both ways.
Apologies, if you watch it on YouTube, you would have seen there's been a few cuts as we've had our the manager of Radio Karams come in, and we realized we were broadcasting live to Radio Karams air as we were doing this. So if you saw me frantically looking at the door, that was what it was. So glad we know that now and we can continue on. But I'll continue on with Lexi Greger, who I thought had her moments during the game. She provided that contested presence and got better as the game went on with her marking ability. She was able to get front position a lot, and I thought in the first half she just wasn't able to capitalize on those moments where she was getting in front position, but it would probably slip through her hands a few times. I don't know what you thought of her performance, but I think it was a good stepping stone for better performances as the champs go on.
Yeah, definitely. And then we'll move to the Vic Country back line now, and Millie Lang was one where we were probably a little bit split with what her game looked like. I did think she had some important moments mopping up and distributed well. She didn't lose too many one-on-ones and obviously had a hard task, but I thought she held a reasonably strong account of herself.
Yeah, I was very split on her performance. I thought she did struggle to take down Barron, but do many have good games against her? I guess not really. I feel like she's lost a little bit of that intercepting presence, and maybe that was just this game itself.
Yeah, but I don't think she took a mark for the whole game.
Yeah, so which is very unusual for her. So I think she would have been a bit down on that performance, but I think there's a lot of room for growth with her. I think she's got so much room to improve now, which is the good thing for her. So probably wasn't one of her best, but there were, I mean, yeah, like we said, it's Barron, so no one was really ever shutting her down.
And Holly Egan as well was a really important piece in that back line. Since she's moved down back, she's looked right at home, and I thought she had a really strong start to the third quarter, which probably highlighted her game. But
yeah.
Out of everything, I think it was just her ability to dispose of the footy and be really calm with ball in hand and find teammates. And yeah, that ability to understand her role and adhere to it really well has really shone through her form at Murray, and she took it into the championships.
Yeah, well, 100%. It was good to see her take that next step really comfortably as well, because, you know, with Murray not winning, it is obviously a little harder at times to stand up and give everything. But I thought she integrated so well. Her defensive positioning was switched on early. I loved when she was able to move forward. She did it with class and had a really good defensive intercept grab, was quick by hand to relieve pressure in D50 mm-hmm. at times as well, and her tackle pressure was there all day. So it was a really, really great performance from her to set her championships up well. And she's definitely putting her name forward as a strong bolter, I reckon, this year. In lighter terms, in terms of she'll just, you know, she's going to bolt herself by strong champs performances.
And you like Jamaica Douglas's performance as well, the Richmond NGA prospect?
Yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of room for growth with her. I think her general disposal needs to take that next level. But I thought in terms of efficiency, she would have been at least at 90% with her runoff half back. And there were, especially when the ball was coming in early, she was composed under pressure, got quick hands off of it. Was that kick? She was able to understand what moment to take in different situations, which I thought was really good. Took a good intercept mark and read the ball ahead of the play really well. So it probably wasn't a top five performance, but in terms of someone who goes under the radar in that type of performance, I don't think she did too much wrong in that sense.
And Jazz Soudan is the last one from Vic Country that we'll touch on. I thought she was a little bit down on what I think she can produce. She's got that physicality and she brushed off tackles, but I just thought she struggled to insert herself into the game. But having said that, she did have some nice moments. It was her kicking that probably let her down from her 10 disposals. I think a lot of them were missed kicks.
Yeah, and I can agree with that in that sense. I thought where she was really good was her aggressiveness and her ability to take on the game, her sidesteps with her runs, whether it was quick hands out of the stoppage and got the ball moving, her vision kicking vision into the middle was definitely there. I said to you before, I reckon she's probably one of the smartest when it comes to footy tactics and understanding where to run. Yep. The amount of times I see her without the ball in terrific spots, but she probably doesn't get used. I reckon 9 times out of 10, she becomes a top 5 player when she gets used in a few more opportunities like that. And her tackle pressure was there as usual. So it was a Jazz Soudan performance with a lot of room for improvement in the kind of execution of those general fundamentals, I reckon.
And we'll quickly go through a few Queensland players as well. Georgia Davies, the clear standout. I actually thought she had a really strong first quarter, but that ended up being her quietest quarter, and she really built on that. She was really dominant in the ruck and so hard to take down when she got the ball. She's got absolute power and she's just unstoppable.
Yeah, she was terrific, wasn't she? Defensive efforts, so a few smothers and those tackle pressure in the contest as well. But she switched angles with her kicking, which was terrific. She has a few really quick turns and bursts out of the stoppage at times as well. And she's tall. Like, I'd assume she's 185 at minimum, which is, you know, tall for the girls' game. And it was really just stoppage craft, I thought, was that next level above most of others as well.
And Havana Harris, we're probably a little bit split on her game, and I think your perspective is she can go so much better, whereas I sort of looked at it and thought she was still one of the most influential players on the ground with her smooth moving and her ability to really use not only her size but also her booming kick to her team's advantage.
Yeah, well, the reason I was split is I do think her height gave her quite an advantage. And I mean, like, at times she'd have it in the middle, she just kind of put her arm above smaller opponents and she's breaking off them quite easily, which is, but she's still terrific. Like, in terms of it, that's not a dig on her game. That's just, she's got that advantage, she uses it, but I do think it got her out of trouble quite a lot. But yeah, it was that fourth quarter for me where she just set herself apart from the rest and clean by hand. She kicked a really good goal in the fourth quarter as well, running into 50 off a turnover, and that real highlight, real package goal that we'll definitely see at the end of the year. So that was my dig on her, but it's not even a dig. It's just like she's tall, so she had a bit of an advantage compared to the smaller Vic Country mids.
And a couple of players who were real aerial presences for Queensland, particularly as they got themselves back into the match, were Dakota Barron and Alana Welsh.
Yeah, Dakota Barron's one of my favourites to watch now, and she's a January kid, so she's 3 weeks earlier and she's in this year's draft, and she really could be, honestly, she'd be top 10 for sure, but such a commanding presence inside forward 50. But I actually enjoyed her work further up the ground. I thought that's where she was most impactful. Watched a few of her games at Quaffle W level, and it's her inside 50 work where she's able to just get a hold of her opponents, but I thought she did that really well. She was good at the drop of the ball as well and kicked a goal for herself as well.
And a couple of other players worth touching on. I thought Bronte Parker was really explosive and showed her not only her acceleration, but she's just got a little bit of X factor. And I thought she brought that out and had some really important moments when her team really needed her to stand up. Zimra Hussain is one who goes in really hard for the footy and has that real aggressive streak. And you know what you're going to get. I think I asked off the top in terms of a player that you'd want to line up alongside in terms of their effort. I think she's someone on the girls' game that you always know what you're going to get from her.
Yeah, 100%. She's just so quick and zippy. I apologize, I forgot to talk on Alana Welsh just before, but I'll just touch on her now. But she was aggressive in the contest. She was really good front and center and finished with two goals. And back to Hussain, yeah. I thought her second half impact was a bit less, and I feel like she's a player you can afford to have that because of the moment she'll give you when she does turn it on. And that's what she did in the first quarter. Nearly kicked a really nice goal selling candy, and the shot just missed. But finished with a goal. I think she'll have a really big performance in one of the last two games. I mean, especially they've got Allies next, which probably can't imagine that being close.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sure, she'll be able to express herself there really well.
And Mia Salisbury, her ability to win clearances and step through traffic, I thought was really impressive. I think that was a real case to say she was best on ground, but certainly if it wasn't her, it was Davies, but she was certainly really influential throughout the contest.
Yeah, her read off halfback was terrific. Her kicks were to her advantage all the time. The tackle pressure to force turnovers, her turn and composure with ball in hand, and she was awesome. And probably the last one I just want to give a touch on is Mia Gear, who's an 08 prospect, but had moments. She's so speedy, so quick, absolute gun of a player so far, and hope she builds on that as the years progress. But her speed through the corridor was terrific, and her attack on the footy was certainly there all day.
A 2026 prospect to watch, no doubt. We'll move on to our Talent League review now, and we'll start with Oakley and Eastern. And this was a boys game played at Trevor Barker Oval, which you watched, and I'll ask you about some of the Eastern players firstly. I think everyone's curious to know how Josh Smiley went, because he's probably had a little bit of a quieter championships.
Yeah, well, it was a quite poor performance from Eastern Maya. That was definitely the worst I've seen them in terms of they just couldn't hit a target, which is quite unlike them in general. And Oakley definitely were switched on. Yeah, Smiley was good without being great.
Yep.
And that's where we've sat with him the last couple of weeks, where it feels like he's got that extra level. His kicking was quite poor to start. I just feel like there's certain fundamentals he could execute just that with a little bit more punch that would just absolutely make him unstoppable. But it was that power out of the contest, the tackle pressure, kicked a really good set shot goal to Easton's in the first quarter when they went down 2-0. So, and had some dare with his kicks at time, which was where that punch came in at times. And he had 26, but I feel like he was quite limited. I think Oakley did quite a good job of limiting his impact. He moved to full forward in the fourth quarter, and it was he didn't get it because it was down Oakley's end all the time, and he did move into the center eventually.
And some others that you thought were really good, Josh Galastian, Zach McGowan played one of his best matches of the season, and Andrew Barker is an intercepting presence. What can you tell me about those boys?
Yeah, Andrew Barker was there constantly all day, just providing that run and carry and understanding. I mean, the ball came in quite easily for Oakley at times, and he was there standing up. Jordan Hyder is one I'd talk about in terms of his liveliness inside 50. Probably died off a bit in the second half, but most Eastern kids didn't really have a good second half. But he sized up his options, had a really nice snap from 25 metres out. And then Josh Galstian's, his presence in transition was there constantly. He had 13 touches, but probably didn't reflect the impact he had at times, pressure around the contest, kicked a really good set shot goal and had a good intercept read as well, inside 50 when the ball was coming out defensively as well.
And then on an Oakley side of things, Zane Cochran and Kane Emery through the midfield. Emery's really carried the midfield for the last 6 to 8 weeks. And Zane Cochran, when he's been in, has been really dominant. Obviously, we know he was really good against Sandy. So good to see him performing. He's one that Oakley think have a lot of draftable attributes. How'd you see that pair?
Yeah, they worked so well together in terms of both did pretty similar things. At Cochran, it was his consistency both ways and his running efforts. His presence around the stoppages was there where, I mean, one of those two had to battle against Smiley and the physicality, they were losing it. But in terms of understanding when to attack the loose ball, I thought they got to it first. They were clean. Cochran brought his pace and speed through the corridor as well. The tackle pressure was there. And Emery, yeah, was as well. His pressure around the contest, his quick hands to move transition. Those boys were the reason Oakley was so dominant with their inside 50s was their work rate all day.
And a couple in the back line, Blake Lidler and Noah Uzay, obviously a Melbourne father, son prospect, the son of Richmond coach Adam Uzay. And Blake Lidler has just returned from injury, second match back. And yeah, he locked down Jack Girardi from Western last week and played a bit more of an offensive role, I understand, this week.
Yeah, well, he was quite productive all day. I thought his disposal let him down at times, but he was still able to turn it on, I thought, and provide those little handballs that kept the ball moving forward out of D50 off halfback. And you know, Uzay was quite productive as well. Without setting the world alight, he was solid all day. He was winning his one-on-ones. He was good in the contest. So quite productive. He's had a few good weeks, I reckon.
Yeah, no, very good. And just quickly on Louis Emmett as well, I think there's a bit of interest there, whether he obviously gets that last Vic Metro game as the ruck.
I'd say, I mean, we're going to talk about this in a separate video with previewing the granny, but I think he has to be there. Just, yep. I mean, 4 goals, and I don't think he touched it a whole heap, to be honest, but it was just his presence inside forward 50 where he was able to win those really strong one-on-ones. His physicality, he was so powerful in the goal square, and he's one, like, just understanding where to position himself, where even if it's a crap kick, he's going to get his first hands on it, really. So 4 goals in the end, and it was quite impressive. And Charlie Richardson had some good moments in the first half as well. So that was probably the wrap from that.
I watched Sandy versus Northern, and Sandy got the job done. Northern really nagged them throughout the day. It felt like Sandy was always going to get away from them, but it didn't really happen until very late in the game. I thought the clear standout from a Sandy perspective was Jet Haider. He is starting to really balance around his game now. We've always known he's got the speed and he's got the athleticism and he's got the ability to really burn you on the outside. But what he's added to his game in recent weeks has been that tackle pressure and that real will to win the contested footy. And I thought he showed that on the weekend. And he also went up forward and kicked 3 goals, 3 as well. Spent some time in the midfield as well. But yeah, he's using his size up forward and was a real presence overhead. So it was good to see him play well. And Harry Armstrong as well up forward. He could have kicked 10 to 12 on another day. He took some really big contested marks and kicked 4 goals. But he got his hands to a lot more balls that he just wasn't quite able to drag down the mark. But he's one to keep a real close watch on going into the champs because he does come in with some really strong form. And I think at the end of the Talent League season, he could be a real point of difference for the Dragons.
Mitch Kirkwood-Scott is one that I profiled on our player deep dive a couple months ago. And tell us about his game. How's he still slotting into this Sandy side? Where was he productive on the weekend?
He's just so productive in his ability to sweep across halfback. And if he's not taking intercept marks, then he's at least making a contest and he's not getting beaten one-on-one. And I think that's what's so impressive about him. He's always one of his team's most important defenders because of how reliable he is, and you just know what you're going to get with him. He's another one you'd love to line up alongside because he's a good leader on field, and yeah, he always produces, and it was another strong performance from him.
And then Brody Finlay, Josh Dolan, tell me about those performances, probably at the bottom end of the top 5 in the end.
Yeah, and both of those are in the Vic Metro squad, so they might get a game on the weekend. Finlay hasn't yet got the opportunity for Metro, and Dolan we know has got a couple of chances, but Dolan really enhanced his prospects and showed some really good form, which was good to see. 26 disposals. It kind of sneaked up on me that he got that much of the footy, but he worked so hard playing that usual high half forward role. I thought it was a really good performance. And Brody Finlay's stats didn't reflect his impact on the game, I didn't think. Finished with 14 disposals and 15 hitouts, but it felt like he really monopolised the ruck contests, not only with his tap work to his teammates' advantage, but also his willingness to take it out of the ruck.
Yeah, good to hear, and I'll move you to Northern, and Jordan Gillard was at the top of your list. Tell me about your reasoning for having him at the top of your five.
Yeah, I think he was one who was a real presence in terms of marking, which was really good to see. But more importantly, it was his pressure throughout the day. And Sandy's midfield probably had that extra gear than what Northern's did. They had some real talent in there, Sandy, with some really, you know, highly regarded players, and Jet Haida, like I said, in some good form, Luke Kennedy in there as well. But I thought he was one who was able to really stymie Sandy and was a real reason why Northern were able to stay in this game for a lot longer than I think a lot of people would have expected.
Taj Logan, Nick Canavan, tell me about their performances. Yeah. and two other top prospects we'll talk about at the end, but tell me about those two.
Yeah, Taj Logan worked so hard both ways on the wing, which was good to see. He was really important in transition when his team was able to rebound it off half back. He was almost always involved, and he worked so hard to get back. There were a couple of times where he took some intercept marks deep in defensive 50, so he's playing that wing role really well. And Nick Canavan on debut, yeah, a really impressive performance. His marking is something to really watch. His first half in particular was really eye-catching, and he's really courageous overhead and has some speed as well.
And then Lucas McInerney, Gab Stumpf too, we've been talking about pretty regularly throughout the year. Tell me about the way they rounded out their performances.
Yeah, I think Gab Stumpf was one who went into the ruck at times. He was a presence up forward, and he even played as an inside midfielder, so he got a little bit of everything. But I thought he showed some nice signs and had some shots on goal. Even though he only finished with the one, I thought there was some really pleasing elements, and he at least built a bit of a case to hopefully play this last game for Vic Metro. And Lucas McInerney just really polished on the wing, and it was another typical performance. But yeah, really creative with ball in hand and offers that real calmness as well. In terms of some other games that were played across the weekend, Bendigo Pioneers went down to the GWV Rebels 5-9-39 to 10-9-69. GWV Rebels, I think, are going to be really hard to stop in the tail end of the season with the players that they've got returning from injury. So the fact they're starting to bank wins is really good to see. But this was played up at Mildura, so really good for the Mildura boys to get an opportunity to play in front of their home crowd. But in terms of GWV, Mitch Lloyd finished with the 28 disposals, the GWV skipper, and I think he deserves to play the last game for Vic Country. I like what he provides in the back line. And Flynn Penry as well, 23 disposals and monopolised the ruck with 34 hitouts. From a Bendigo point of view, good to see Archiday Wicks hit some form, 3 goals and 24 disposals from the midfield. He's one to watch for Vic Country in this last game. Dayton Urata returning with 23 touches, and Tom Evans continuing his strong form with 25 and a goal.
Western got the job done 84-36 against Geelong, which is quite a big result for them. And Oscar Ainsworth has kicked four in this one, but he's kicked 8 goals in the last 3 games for Western in his play most of the year. But that's a really good output from him. Keaton Matafai Forbes ended up with 3 on the day, and Xavier Cardacci with 31 touches, Daniel Snell 27 and a goal. So some pretty good stat lines there. Liam Kershaw with 24 for the Falcons, leading them there.
And Dandenong versus Murray, Dandenong got the job done in this one, 13-12-90 to 8-11-59. They got out to a massive lead in the second quarter, Dandenong, and Murray were able to peg it back to just 7 points early in the fourth before who else but the fourth quarter specialist Noah Hibbins-Hargreaves kicking 3 goals in the last quarter to allow Dandenong to run away with it. It's amazing that he just continues producing it, and yeah, in the last quarter as well. Keep an eye out for a separate video where we're going to profile some of the top bottom eight that have performed in the talent league, and he's certainly front of mind there. 4 goals and 21 disposals he finished with. Ben Hopkins really good, and a couple of bottom ages as well, and Jasper Russell and Toby Cinema showed what they could do for the Stingrays. From a Murray point of view, Zach Harding is building into some really strong form. 2 goals, 28 disposals and 26 hitouts. So it's good to see him not only showing what he can do with his tap work, but able to get involved around the ground and also have that presence inside 50 where he's taking marks and kicking goals as well. Max Marnie continuing his strong form, and Colin Paul finishing with the 20 touches as he looks to build a case to return for Vic Country in their last game. Gippy's match with Tassie getting cancelled as a result of flight issues. So, or I say cancelled, actually postponed. So, yeah, we'll keep you updated with the outcome of that and when that game's played. But
I'll quickly
yeah, the
run you through. Yeah, the ladder. Sandy on top, 32. Tassie Geelong Calder, 28 points. Dandy, 26 with that draw. Gippy, 24. Western Murray Eastern on 20. Northern Bendigo on 16, Rebels and Oakley on 12. I gave you my predictions on text, and I'm not going to say them here in terms of where it would end up if finals started today. Bad news for Oakley is they'd have to win. They'd have to go through Sandy in the first week, and if they lose, they're out. They don't have a lucky loser chance being on the bottom. So they really do need to finish
strongly.
They need to really finish fourth or fifth. Yep. Because you'd probably back them against Calder.
Yeah.
Eastern, that's 50-50. Yep. So, interesting there. So, Sandy lead Metro and Tassie lead Country. On to girls.
Yes, on to girls. We've got no tips this week because there's no talent league being played this weekend. And you watched the Sandy versus Oakley game. Oakley getting the job done. 15-17, 107 to Sandy's 2-1-13. And I'll ask you about some of the Oakley girls first up. A really dominant performance from the Chargers. But we'll start with Bailey Martin. So she's one that we've profiled a little bit throughout the last few weeks or so, but continues to kick goals, 2 goals on the weekend and 20 disposals.
Yeah, she was terrific to watch. That's my first time really seeing her in the flesh, and she was awesome in terms of her productivity inside forward 50. She understands forward craft so well already. She was crafty. She was quick thinking inside 50. I mean, her second efforts as well, her pressure acts inside forward 50, for her age, it felt like they were so advanced and really slotted in seamlessly to this Oakley side. She was awesome to watch.
Chloe Bound finished with lots of touches as she always does and continued her form from what I understand from her first game in the championships.
Yeah, 100%. It was her work rate. She kicked a really nice goal for her first one. Her positioning was there. That got her in good spots to keep the ball moving forward. Took a few strong marks actually and finished with 8 marks. But such a complete performance. I guess a scoreline you have to take into account. I mean, I'm pretty sure from memory, Oakley, I think it was 62-0 in the second half. They really just turned it on. Sandy weren't able to keep up with them in that back half. So, yeah, I guess taking into account, she just did what she needed to do, and I guess it racks up eventually.
Anyone else from an Oakley perspective that really caught your eye?
Yeah, I mean, Sienna Tallarady was good. I mean, typical kind of performance, her calmness off half back. She was rebounding really well. She lost a few one-on-ones actually to Mia Zielinski, but it was her follow-up efforts where pretty much equalized that contest and, made it look okay in the end. Abby Vicino was there all day. Jacinta Baxter was super hard working, I thought, in the forward half. She was spacing well. Her tackle pressure was there. Lucy Murphy as well took a few good contested marks up forward as well.
And Tiger Daltrey led the way for the Sandringham Dragons. Obviously, there was some class in that lineup, but unfortunately, they were outplayed throughout most of the day. But Daltrey finishing with the 24 disposals and 9 marks.
Yeah, well, I did what you do, and when you see a defender take an intercept mark, you're like, oh, let's start the tally now. And I don't do that. You do that usually, but I was like, I'm going to do it this week. She had 5 up to the third quarter. I don't know how many – 5 intercept marks, that is. I think she finished with 9 marks, but I'm going to assume it was 5 intercept marks. She was there all day. I thought she was so productive when things really weren't going their way for most of the day. Had a really good goal line smother that would probably go underrated, but you'd see that in a team review, honestly, those type of efforts. Daisy Flocker, her composure out of the centre stoppage was good, her positioning, her tackle pressure. And, Sophie Mackay was there all day just willing the team on when things weren't going too well. So that was the wrap for that game.
And we'll move on to some other games that were played across the weekend in the girls as well. There was only the one other game, and that was Western taking on Northern on the Friday night. Northern getting the job done 8-6-54-5-2-32. I think this was a result that we expected, but it was good to see Western show some fight. From a Western perspective, it was Olivia Costello, who has built into some nice form and done some nice things throughout the season. She finished with the 34 disposals, and then there were some others as well. We know that Sierra Greaves, you know what you're going to get from her week in, week out. She had the 31 disposals, and Alex McBride alone with 14 touches and 19 hitouts. On a Northern side of things, Zoe Hargreaves, who's going to be a real watch throughout the national championships. So I expect her to really turn it on. We've seen some things from her, but 22 disposals and a goal she finished with, and Olivia Gorman with 23 disposals as well. But that's about a wrap for that game. Also worth touching on Hannah Scott, who finished with the 16 touches and 12 tackles. And there's no Girls Talent League this week. We'll quickly run through the ladder.
So Oakley sit atop with 36, and they're only one game away from getting the minor premiership, which is pretty much a lock. I mean, they've got to play Sandy again, so you'd assume they're going to win that if they just won that comfortably on the weekend. Eastern and Tassie on 28, Northern Dandenong on Geelong on 24, Gympie on 20, Rebels on 16, Bendigo and Sandy on 12, Western on 8, Calder on 4, Murray hopefully still looking, will get a win before the end of the season. So Oakley lead Metro, Tassie also lead country, so that's good for Tassie leading the boys and the girls. Yeah. And the girls this year, there's a Metro wild card, which will set their top four. Country, there's no wild card, it's just a top four, and then it's the normal progress from there. But that about wraps it up.
It does. I just want to ask for a tip for the weekend off the Calf Vic Metro Vic Country, who takes home the championships. We will do a separate preview video, as we say,
which will come out tomorrow, I think, pretty much tomorrow. But have to say Metro. I think it will be, I'll give an exact tip, is 17 points.
I'll go Country by a point in a thriller.
I just don't think Country, I feel like, really have to grind their games out. That's probably been the difference between both in the carnival, is Metro. Yeah, they grind it out for the first half, and then they're like, yeah, we're better, and just put on 5 goals in 5 minutes. So it's like, if Country can stop that, then I'll give them quite a chance. But if Metro put on about 3 or 4 goals in a matter of minutes, that's your game. So that's probably the difference in that, and that's why I'd say Metro.
Yeah, Country is a big upset, but I don't know. I want to tip an upset. I want to tip the underdog, and I think they do have some players who are some real match winners as well, with Cooper Hines and Harvey Langford. So I think they've got some individuals who, like I'd say, their top end has probably performed a little bit better than Metro's top end so far this championship, so I'm probably backing them a little bit more. But that'll see us out for this episode. Make sure you tune in to some extra videos that are coming out on our channel. It's exciting times. And also, make sure you keep an eye on our socials this weekend, because we've got some special things happening that we won't reveal yet, but special things happening for the Vic Metro versus Vic Country game. But that's all we've got time for. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode.